Hello? I wish I was a little bit.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Wednesday. Nick is shuffling the deck once again. He will take hour number two.
After I was challenged by you two, that's why. You guys said I was scurred. And that I wouldn't play my list until the third hour.
I didn't say a word.
That's what you said.
No. Barry knows things that I don't know. Barry's got some things up his sleeve he wants to discuss.
We're just going to talk about how close to the theme they are versus how lazy your ass was when you put a list together.
Is this song not relevant enough for our theme?
About being disappointed?
I think he's disappointed about his height.
No, this is not one that I was going to pick apart.
Oh, it was another one? I was hoping you'd
pick this song. Another three?
I was hoping you'd pick this song apart.
No.
Why not?
Because he wishes he was taller. That's disappointing. We'll get there. Don't you worry. You've got to play all eight of those raggedy-ass songs. We'll get there. A couple texts from the text line real quick. Mm-hmm. Somebody texted and said, I hope you see me and my kids out in public. No earbuds. Get over it, Barry. Oh, snap. Watch out, y'all. We got a badass on the text line.
What? Oh, how do you're people- so badass. Yes, I'm going to yell at your kids, yell at you, and play porn. So, cool. I hope we see each other outside in the public, and that'll be fun.
That's just ridiculous that you would text anybody like that. I don't care.
Yep.
You're an adult. You're a grown-ass person.
Yep.
Regardless.
That's, you're super tough. Hey, Chip here. Can we please start a GoFundMe account to get the ESPN app fixed? I was driving to and from Brownsville without y'all. And it was almost unbearable. I would rather be forced to accept a long emotional hug from a stranger or even Nick. So,
wow,
yeah, good thing he didn't hear that. He was in there talking. So,
yeah,
but it's been read.
Okay, so you want any more of those, or do you want to move on?
No, we're good. There's nobody else. There was about 1,000 texts correcting me that Nine Inch Nails wrote "hurt" and then Johnny Cash covered it because I said it backwards. So thank God.
The fun, please.
Just in general.
Okay.
Yeah, but thank God everybody's on the case, and we got that super important matter corrected.
I think we kind of know that already. We know that the broadcast police is going to get us on anything and everything they can.
Yes.
Antonio Brown did practice today. He did wear number one as his temporary number. Drew Rosenhaus was on ESPN. He basically said, look, we're going to cooperate fully. Antonio's going to cooperate fully. In a nutshell, they've also kind of let his lawyer let people know that they are going to consider a countersuit based on what happens here.
Really?
Yeah. So that just gives Barry, just think about this. Now, that gives him another opportunity to stay in
the limelight.
The media. Yeah.
Do you consider that to be posturing? Do you consider that to be like, oh, you wanna sue us, so we're gonna countersue you? We'll break you. Like, Antonio Brown has way more money than you do. Or do you think it's legitimate where he's like, nope, this is wrong, and you're wrong, and this never happened? If you just look at the email at face value, it's just a bad look. There's no admission of guilt other than when he said that he did his business on her back. Was she asleep at the time, by the way?
Again, Barry, we don't know if all the facts are going to come out right away, if they'll eventually come out in the laundry. But for one reason or another, that's why I'm saying, look.
What is that? That doesn't. Was she asleep or not?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know that anyone knows. And if that stuff comes out, then we will know. But I'm just saying the bigger question that you just posed is, I'm just waiting for all. I think what in the short term, what's in Antonio Brown's best interest is to try and look as squeaky clean as possible. So essentially, that's why he said, we'll consider a countersuit and we're going to participate and go along with the process 100% and do everything, because he has to at this point, because people are sick and tired of all of his antics and shenanigans. And it's all been antics and shenanigans till you got to something like this. Now it's serious business.
Yeah.
So I think that they're going to – that's why they said that, for a lot of posturing reasons and to protect themselves in the short term.
His best bet at this point, if I'm Drew Rosenhaus, I go to him and I was like, dude, give me your phone. Give me your laptop. Give me everything that allows you to get on the internet. And do not log on. Do not talk to reporters. Just put your head down. Go play some football. And let's figure this out. Because
I don't know that anyone can. I don't know that there's a family member or Drew Rosenhaus.
He
or
needs
anybody.
An intervention.
I don't think anybody can intervene.
I don't think anybody can. But I do think the Patriots can grab a. If you remember.
But do you think the Patriots really want to waste their time?
I mean, they did it with Ocho Cinco. Ocho Cinco was a crazy individual at Cleveland. He did a one-year or at Cincinnati. He did a one-year stint with New England, caused no problems. Then went to Miami and headbutted his wife or fiance or girlfriend or whatever.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, why would the Patriots want to invest any time after after week one? The way that that offense looked, you know, you've got Gordon. Everybody's looking good, and you don't the Patriots don't need Antonio Brown to be Super Bowl favorites. They after that week, what they did to that Pittsburgh Steelers team, which is a good football team, they're not. If the Patriots would have scored 6 points, then they may have been like, well, we got to fade this because we really need Antonio Brown for Tom Brady. They don't need any of that.
But
they don't need the headache.
But think about this too. Think about what they did yesterday afternoon. They traded away a guy in Demaryius Thomas that they thought could be their third receiver. That was a guy that knew their offense, that they thought had gotten over his injury, that was going to help them. And the minute they got Antonio Brown, they said, we don't need him anymore, and they shipped him off in a trade, not knowing that this was coming up. Now that this is coming up, they're like, man, can we get a redo? Can we get him back? Because if Antonio Brown doesn't play, now everybody that said, well, it started out when they started the season, their receiving core didn't look so good. Now it looks all world. Now it doesn't look so good again. And they've already traded away one of the guys that they would have had fill in.
But again, Demaryius Thomas didn't play in week one. And look what they did without him. I mean, that offense is just fine.
They weren't really bringing in Thomas to depend on him, though. They were bringing him
I'm just saying, third receiver, whatever it is. But he's a veteran, quality guy. They brought him back because they believed he knew the system. He was playing well. The only reason why they got rid of him was because they got Antonio Brown.
Fact of the matter is, they did what they did without either of them on the field. And this is why I say, if I'm the Patriots, I call him into the office and I sit him down and say, we don't need you. We don't need this headache. I don't know what's going on. We need the truth. We need to know what's going to happen because, you know, we need to take a step forward one way or the other. And if this, you know, if we have to suspend you, we'll do that. But there's, I would take an absolute zero tolerance, no BS policy with Antonio Brown at this point. Again,
you have to. I think you have to.
The Raiders put up with it because they felt like they needed him.
Right.
And they actually do need him.
Well, Gruden wanted him.
Yeah, so I get that. You fade that. But this team, this Patriots team, they don't need him.
Okay, here's the other thing, Barry. Just like we were talking about with some of the other teams that played well, like Baltimore in week one.
Yeah.
Patriots played good in week one. They're as prepared as any team in the league all the time. A lot of times people said, well, they treated September like preseason. Well, they didn't. Sunday night, because they took it to the Steelers, but it's a long season, and so things can change. So I wouldn't be resting so comfortably knowing that we beat the Steelers and we're going to roll through the whole season. You never know what you're going to need, but you don't need this headache. If it's an injury that you lose a guy for, some things happen, then that's one thing. But you can avoid this if this is going to be a distraction going forward for the majority of the season.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. His attorney is saying he denies all allegations by his former trainer. They are going to fight it, and they will contemplate a lawsuit in return. Man, so
the email's a bad look, though.
Oh, man. I don't know how that got out.
He admitted to a portion of it. The only thing he didn't admit in that email is that he did it by force. That's the only thing he didn't admit to.
It wasn't consensual, yeah.
Like, it's not a good look for you. You're not helping your lawyer or anything.
No. Why would you? I wouldn't call her and say that. I wouldn't text her and say that. I wouldn't email her and say that. At this point, given what happened with Tyreek Hill, I wouldn't even walk through the mall or the airport and say that to her. Just shut your mouth.
That's the thing, man. I mean, look, everybody thinks, well, if I say it and verbalize it, you don't have me because it's not in writing. It's not on video. You don't have recorded proof. You don't know anymore.
No.
Look what he did to Gruden. He recorded a conversation with his head coach and put it out there.
He's like, oh, I mean, what was he saying? Like, my baby mama, you're not getting a come up off of us. You're not gonna make money off of me. Like, you messed up. And he's calling her names and just
saying disrespecting her and her mother conspiracized in this whole deal. because they were looking for the come up, and she still lives at home, and his baby mama ain't going to get caught up in all this. And man, I'll tell you what, if you find that back and forth conversation that's out there, oh boy.
Here's a like, he needs somebody in his ear, PR or whatever, to be like, hey man, don't say anything.
But that's the thing, Barry. Like,
don't say, even because my tendency would be like, yo, my tendency would be to send the email he sent, but with just better grammar and slightly less spelling errors. I would still have spelling errors. We all know that.
Right.
In fact, I corrected my own spelling on Twitter yesterday. I had to block myself.
That a boy.
Yeah. So, but I would send it because I would be angry, but it's not the right move. Just because I would do it, it doesn't mean it's the right move. The right move is, hey,
but like,
if you're going to sue me, we'll settle this in court. Please don't contact me anymore.
You need a PR person or somebody. I don't think anybody can intervene he's going to listen to. I don't think there's anybody out there that he respects enough that he will do what they say to do because it's the right thing.
I feel like it has to be someone that's really close to him or is like he's comfortable with, and either a friend or a personal trainer or if it's agent. But like the PR staff at New England, they're probably a no-nonsense PR staff. But they're not close with Antonio Brown yet. He's only had one practice. They have no working relationship with the guy. And so I think it makes it a little bit more difficult to approach him.
Well, when did he send the email? Do we know when?
I didn't look at the day.
Because obviously, a stamp on it.
It wasn't while he was with New England because he just got there. Unless he did just send it on the plane ride over or something like that. But, I mean, fact of the matter is he needs better people around him. When you get to a level like that, you don't need just yes men that say what you want to hear. You need people that will actually protect you.
No doubt. And you need somebody that – everybody loves yes men. And the richer you are, the more yes men you enjoy around you because it builds you up. And I've talked to several people about this over the years. But the thing is that you still have to have a rational voice of reason somewhere on your staff or from your family, or someone that you know, trust, and will listen to has to be in that tight circle or however big your circle of your people are. Because if it's not, you are headed for a disaster. Because the more money you get, the more confidence and ego you get, and the more out of control you can get as you're looking at a situation like that right now.
Speaking of PR, can we talk about DeMarcus Lawrence on the other side again?
Again? Okay.
Yeah.
Back in the news about that little boy in the jersey?
No, there was just something that Brent Shearer tweeted me and said, oh, you're going to bring this up? And I want to have that discussion.
By the way, I do want to let everybody know that the app and the stream is currently working. Don't know what the issues have been, but everybody here wants to verify the app and the stream is
working. Before we go to break, can you explain to me what this song is about?
It's about disappointment and the loss of somebody's life. If you're sad, you're not disappointed. It's not a fair play here.
This song is about death, not disappointment.
You're not disappointed when someone dies?
Oh yeah, no, I was disappointed when my cat died, but I don't put a song about death as a song about disappointment. This is a song about death.
It's the first time I've ever heard you say you don't want to hear a Ghetto Boy song. Disrespectful.
No, I just want it to be on topic. I'm so disappointed in you.
What's his name? What does Joel call him? Feel about this?
I don't know. Bushwick
Bob or Bushwick Bob?
Bushwick Bill.
No. Oh, look. Now you want to take the high road?
Now you get it right.
Anyways, you're out. This song has nothing to do with...
I say we let the suspects decide.
This song has nothing to do with a football team letting you down.
Tweet at Barry is funny if you think this song counts as a disappointing song.
Yeah, and here he goes. Hey guys. Send out group text all his friends.
Please, yeah, I got to do that. Please tweet.
And the fight goes on. Hour number two, the usual suspects rolling through. Hour number two. We'll be back with more of this usual suspect, ESPN 97.5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit hrp.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two, 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
I'm not going to waste a whole hour on your whack-ass list, but what does this song have to do with disappointment?
Again, he's expressing disappointment.
He's kind of angry.
I don't think you know what the word disappointment means.
I do. It can be used interchangeably.
Nick, when you're disappointed, is your first words, "Hey, bleep you!"
Well, this one says "forget you," so that's obviously bleep you would be mad. Forget you, that's more disappointing.
Hey, Nick. No, forget you is just because he can't use the real F word.
You know how your parents back in the day said, "I'm not angry with you."
Remember how you said that I was saying things.
They never said forget you.
You know, remember how you said I was giving us different options for a theme because it was going to help my list?
Yeah.
My suggestions would have helped yours.
Really? I haven't seen your list yet. I haven't seen your whack-ass list yet.
Just that song alone and what the point Barry just made, I could have helped you. Help
so
me
stupid.
Help you. But instead, you absolutely are making the case.
What are the suspects saying? Are they agreeing with my songs being disappointing?
No, they're not agreeing with you at all.
You're not reading all the texts.
I have not read anything. If they agree with you, I deleted them. And by the way, shout out to Bill from Beaumont. I appreciate the kind words. All right. Again, I don't want to spend the whole hour because his list is awful. And it gets worse. But so Brent Shearer tagged me on a tweet yesterday. And he said, "Hey, Barry, does this make your show tomorrow or nah?" And he was being sarcastic. And it was a tweet from DeMarcus Lawrence. He tweeted it out himself. It's a video of him playing air hockey with some kids. And he's like, "Does that make the show?" And I said, "Well, no, because being nice to a kid isn't out of the norm. That's what you do. You just be nice to kids. Being an a-hole to a kid as a celebrity makes the news because you shouldn't be a-holes to kids.
Yeah.
But if you're nice to kids, you should be.
It's expected.
So why would that make the news? Also, by the way, FYI, little tip, that's called good PR. That's called spin control.
Yeah.
That's called writing the ship
the narrative.
Because, correcting the narrative because it's going bad right now. So, oh my God, what should we do? DeMarcus Lawrence looks like a complete jerk, which, by the way, people that know him have confirmed he is a complete jerk. But how do we fix this? Oh, I know. Let's play air hockey with some kids and show what a lovable, great guy he is around the kids.
You may speak.
I have another solution. If we're talking about people in the inner circle.
Uh-huh.
You know how you fix this? If you're one of DeMarcus Lawrence's inner circle, you say, "Let's do right. Let's find the kid, send him a jersey or something signed, and say, 'I wanted to right the wrong. I wanted to rectify it.'" Now you've actually done
100%. And he did it on his own.
110?
Yeah.
110%.
Okay.
And it would be your jersey. "Hey, kid, I was just kidding. I told you to get the right jersey. Here it is. I signed it, by the way. Here's some gloves or whatever." But yeah, send him your jersey autographed.
And saying,
"Now you've got the right jersey, bro." Or
give him one his size,
too.
That's how
you fix it. But, go play an air hockey at Dave & Buster's with some random kids? Nah, bro.
And this is what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say to people I actually worked with personally, but I've told you guys. But I can tell you this. Whether it's DeMarcus Lawrence or Brett Myers that used to pitch for the Astros or whoever you may pick, you don't get to pick the disposition of the players that are on your team in a lot of ways. And you can't predict what they've been through in a lot of ways. A lot of times, like even with the Patriots, they're just looking for the best football players they can find, and then they'll deal with the rest. Some other organizations go over the top to make sure they don't get bad guys, like the Texans. But the bottom line is, you're getting people on your college programs, in the NFL, based on their skill level in a sport. But you don't know what kind of people they are.
Yeah.
And sometimes, with the greatest aspirations and hopes that this guy is going to be my next hero, you're sadly disappointed by finding out who he really is.
That's why I said D-Law had that damn event playing with those kids for a month. PR had nothing to do with it. Yeah, PR had everything to do with it.
Even if the event was planned a month ago, why did they specifically publish that video? Just because it was planned a month ago doesn't mean there was...
The same texter, though, just said, "F that little kid and his Giants parents for setting it all up." Nope. See? Your points are invalid now.
And I don't want to...
Somebody was like, he was going to sell that jersey. It was a towel, wasn't it? It was a towel or something that they were signing, not an actual Giants jersey. He was wearing the Giants jersey, but he had some sort of banner or something that he wanted signed. Give me that. That kid wasn't making money, and that wasn't planned.
Because I don't want to take away from the fact that regardless of how it gets done, in most cases, kids in need are getting a lot of great stuff. But a lot of times, too, the PR people are better people than the athlete themselves, and the PR people line it up to where they put their name on it, and they make it look like the player went out of his own pocket to do this, that, or the other thing, and you find out sponsors that just wanted him to make the appearance actually were the ones that paid the actual money out to supply the toys or the clothes or whatever.
Imagine that.
And they just walk away thinking, I'm good. I look great. Didn't cost me a cent. Yeah. The real, really heroes to look up to are the players that go out of their way and spend their own money. Don't want any publicity for it. Andre Johnson, there were a ton of stuff with Andre Johnson. But the people like Mookie Betts, when during the playoffs, after a playoff game, he took a lot of the food that wasn't going to be, that was completely wrapped up, never been uncovered or anything like that, took it down to a homeless shelter, made sure that homeless people had blankets. Didn't want any publicity for it. Did it out of the goodness of his heart.
You think Andre Johnson walks past a kid in a Titans jersey wearing a Cortland Finnegan jersey and says that to that kid? I guarantee you he doesn't do that.
He's a different human being, though.
Johnson,
he's a different player.
Has class.
Yeah,
he's
not going to say it.
Now, he may not sign anything, but he may just pretend, hey, what's up, little man, and keep walking. And that's okay. I'm not expecting people to stop and sign every time there's a request. I get that. But you don't have to be a jerk and say the things that DeMarcus Lawrence said. But Andre Johnson has class, and there's no way he may just be like, ha ha, what's up, little man, and fist bump him and keep walking. Nah, it was classless.
There are athletes against autographs, but you know what they do? The good ones do? You know what they do? I'm not signing today, but if you want a selfie, I'm happy to take a selfie with you. Shake your hand, fist bump, do whatever. And that should be good enough. Because some people just have their own reasons for why they're against signing autographs. Bill Russell's a guy that refuses to sign autographs for anyone, including other players, which is rare because normally player to player, that's part of the code that you sign for other players. Bill Russell's just been staunchly against autographs, but he'll take pictures and he'll sit down and talk with you. Just something he doesn't do.
Yeah.
So you respect it.
Somebody said, why is Joel yelling louder today? I don't know.
He's really not. About to say, he's always yelling.
Oh, that's true. He's always yelling.
Joe Black and Barrel Amadak, the usual suspects, and he's been 97.5 filling up a Charlie Pelula.
Yes, and I know.
Patrick Creighton saying that the usual suspect's going to be back after this message on ESPN 97.5. Back.
Food and Red Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on ESPN 97.5. Hunter Henry's going to play this week for the Chargers. Hunter Henry's going to be a factor. No, Stephen A. Get it right this time because you messed it up last year when he said he was going to be a factor in a game. He was out for the year. Hunter Henry of the Chargers suffered a fracture to his left knee. He's out.
At least he didn't announce somebody's name that's like no longer in the league or retired.
Well, this is one of the ones he did. He was talking about a big Thursday night or Sunday night matchup with the Chargers and somebody else, and he went on for like 3 minutes on how Hunter Henry was going to be a factor, and someone had to get into his ear and go, you know he's out for the year, right? So he's out if you're in a fantasy league that has him. Sad news if you're an Oklahoma State Cowboy. T. Boone Pickens, the billionaire that just, I think the football field's named after him, huge donor for Oklahoma State, has passed away. So you know that there are a lot of heavy hearts in orange today. Chad Clay,
91 years old, though.
Yeah, good run.
Yeah, good run.
Especially when you're a good run. You get to 91 and you're a billionaire, I think you're doing okay. We don't know what he... No, Nick, we don't know what kind of person he is.
We don't.
But we think we do. But we know he's made a lot of donations.
When you donate money, you kind of get the benefit of the doubt sometimes.
Depending on how you donate it. And if it's your own money and you do it for the right reasons, yes.
There was an anonymous donor to the medical school at the University of Houston, so... Look,
I think for all intents and purposes, the guy, even if it's just because it's the university and his love of the athletic
sport or
department,
football,
he has pumped a boatload of money into that university.
Absolutely. So, but good run, 91.
I would say so, right. Speaking of a good run, by the way, too, if you were a Longhorn fan and you want to see them up close and in person, Longhorns are coming to town. The Lone Star Showdown is going to be at Energy Stadium. Rice against Texas, Saturday, September the 14th, presented by Smart Financial. Don't miss out on a primetime college football game between two old Southwest Conference rivals battling it out on Houston's biggest stage. It's the Horns. It's the Owls. Tickets on sale now, starting as low as $35, but get them because they're going quick. 713-348-OWLS or visit riceowls.com/NRG to get your tickets today. I mean that because the Longhorn fans come out in droves to see them they when they come to Houston. So if you're going to go and you want to go, get on it now because you know that those tickets are going to go.
Somebody said, hey, Barry, I know this is going to kill you, but my dad got me an autograph on a napkin from Bum Phillips at a urinal at an Oilers game. Boy, there's a lot of highs and lows in that text.
Jeez.
I'm like, sweet, you got a Bum Phillips at a urinal?
On a napkin?
Gosh. No, I would have wiped my hands off of that napkin and thrown it away. That's disgusting. At a urinal? Why is your dad asking for an autograph at a urinal? If you ask, I'm going to be like, yeah, and then I'm going to face you as I pee and just pee on your shoes while I sign something. That's disgusting. And by the way, I'm 99% sure. I don't have the number memorized, but I'm pretty sure this is Juan Adams. But he said, whenever I go out of town for a fight, I leave the hotel to meet with fans. And anyone who wants, I always sign whenever they ask. And multiple fans actually message me when they're dealing with depression and stuff. My thing is if you have a chance to not be a D-bag, don't be a D-bag unless they deserve it.
Yeah, well, Juan, when you become a massive champion in the UFC someday and you get really, really big and famous, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. But see, you can still carry yourself in a good way when you're doing that. You can still carry yourself. Like Dana White can't do it as much, but he's not a
But it's not that you have to stop and sign like Joel was saying in the last segment. You just don't have to be an ass about it.
Right.
Right.
That's all.
And every player has their own way of doing things, right? So knowing Charles as long as I did, and still do. But the one thing I know about Charles Barkley, he's got a huge heart. But he also knows he can't appease everyone.
Nope.
Right? He can't make everybody happy. So what he tries to do is he tries to do the right thing, and he doesn't want credit for it. I can't tell you how many I talked about the no tip and Pippen thing, where he always picked up tabs for everybody, even when he wasn't making what everybody else was making. But the other thing is he'd drive down Travis Street during Christmas, and if he saw someone down on their luck on the street, he would pull the car over and pull the person over and give them a $100 bill and say, don't tell anybody. I don't need to know about this. I just want to make sure you're okay, man. He'd go into bars and restaurants. He would make sure not only the waitress got a big tip, but he'd take care of the busboys and the people behind the scenes that no one knew to even think about taking care of, and he didn't want any credit for it. He would buy things for people in need and then just say, please, don't call the news station. I don't want credit for this. I just want to make sure you're okay. That's when you know that their heart's in the right spot.
Yeah.
And that's what I think gets lost, because everybody's like, oh, he's so outspoken and he's this and he's that and he doesn't want to be a role model. If you don't know, then you don't know. But ask somebody, because you can find out, like we're talking about with DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah.
That's why it's so easy, like Barry was mentioning about, like with Lawrence, that, you know, you can control the narrative. It makes you look so much better when someone else publishes that video, right? Like someone took the video of you and they published it, as opposed to you taking that video of yourself and you publishing it on your own account. Now, I'm not saying that he didn't do that, but I'm just saying it makes it look better when someone else from a distance was shooting the video at you and you're not doing it for yourself.
He published it
himself.
He
could have planned it. He could have had somebody. He could have had a video producer. But the point is, it gives it that better look. And that's one way you can control the narrative.
Yeah. Somebody said, Barry, you're way too butthurt about this subject. Oh, I don't think you really have a grasp on how I feel about things. This is the same thing when guys on Twitter will be like, oh, why you get in your feelings? Trust me when I tell you I'm not butthurt.
You talking about Dustin?
I'm just calling it like I see it. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. I'm not butthurt about this.
But it's part of what we're talking about. Why we do the show.
This is my job, to come on here and talk about athletes that act like complete dicks to a little kid. Like, I'm not butthurt about this.
You just disagree with his approach.
You think I tossed and turned all night? God, these texts today are just dumb.
You sleep okay?
Idiots. Yeah, I slept just fine. And somebody's mad. Why didn't y'all do 9/11 theme song from 01?
I kind of shot that down because it's depressing.
Because it's depressing. No
I
one
asked
wants,
you guys openly,
sad.
And I was trying to go from the patriotic thing. You guys made a good point, and Lisa made the same point. It would be too down, and it would probably be the songs you would find would probably be. I totally agreed with all you guys and said, look, I was just trying to find an apropos theme for the week and what's going on, but I get it.
We should play that 9/11 song.
No.
That we do every year. The one that makes everybody cry.
With the little kid's voice.
It's been a year, Daddy. I'm like,
I know, dude. When you sent me that link, I was like,
so yeah, make, yeah. If you don't cry at, when you hear that song, you don't have a heart. You really don't.
Whether we pick the theme or not, please never forget. Okay, that's the main thing of remembering 9/11. Remember the families involved, the children involved, all of the first responders, all of that. And that would be the sole reason for bringing it up is we want to make sure people never forget and do the right thing.
For sure.
And so that needs to be said regardless of whether we picked it for a theme or not. So, I mean, yeah, because, I mean, some of the stuff you forget about. And then I know that as part of the memorial that they built for the Twin Towers and everything like that, they have quotes on a wall that were either texts, voice messages from people that were on one of the flights and everything. The one that just got me, and obviously, you know, married with a child and another one on the way, and the guy says, basically, I think her name was Beth. Beth, I hate to tell you this, but it doesn't look good. My plane's been hijacked, and I don't think I'm getting out of this. So please know I love you. Tell my parents I love them. Please do this and do that. And if I get out of here, I can't wait to tell you that you mean the world. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, all those are just, I mean, there are people that are just sending, look, I love you.
Yeah.
Just, God, awful. Awful,
I mean, just somebody for a second, think about being in that predicament. Like, somebody, you know, this ain't going to end well.
Somebody asked where we were. I just started a job at Anadarko Petroleum.
The freshman morning in that college. It happened.
Really?
Yeah, HCC. I was at Houston. I was driving to Houston Community College my freshman year, and then they canceled it. So I just turned around and went back and watched it on TV.
I remember watching. We had just moved into our first house, like a couple weeks, maybe at the most. And I remember because I only had one TV set up in the living room. There was boxes everywhere. And I just remember telling my wife, come look at this. And the planes had already hit the tower. And I was like, that's crazy. And you really didn't know what was going on yet. Because this was when they were like, oh, well, you know, it's unfortunate this plane hit a tower. And then when the second one, they're like, I think we're under attack. And then I go to work. And since we worked in oil and gas and it was Anadarko, and they were like, oh, you know, this might be a security risk for us.
Go home.
Because you didn't know. Yeah, they sent us home. Yeah.
So
they were like, we don't know what's going on. Then the Pentagon happened. So it was.
We had a game the night before, and I believe it was a late night game. So I was still at the house. And someone called me, a friend of mine called me and said, the towers, they hit the tower, the tower's down. And my immediate reaction was, are we still on the air? Because at that point, I'm thinking from a work perspective, they're calling me to let me know something happened with our flagship radio station.
Right.
And I need to get involved. And I wasn't at the office. And they're like, no, put on a TV immediately. And I just stopped. And I was like, oh, my God. And the vivid video of just how many can't, I mean, and again, we think about how many people would have been shooting the Twin Towers with video, but you got all that video.
It's crazy.
And so you didn't have to just hear about it. You saw it, and you just stopped in your tracks and was like, what is going on?
Yeah, man.
It was intense, and it was, whew.
Yeah. Somebody said, Mick Maynard, who is the UFC matchmaker, lives in Atascocita. I work on his home often, super down to earth. Has given me multiple Legacy FC items just because. Yeah, Mick is a great dude. One of the nicest individuals I've ever met in my life. Like,
is that right?
You've met him.
Yeah, I've met him. In the few dealings that I've had, he's always been super cool to me.
The MMA business is a sleazy business, especially when it comes to matchmaking. Thank you. Was that
That's a
Barkley
rebuttal. Yeah, because I did it to you last week and you didn't catch on.
No, I saw it. I just chose to ignore it last week. But Mick is... He's literally the exception to the norm in MMA where most matchmakers, most people that book shows are just sleazy. Mick was never like that. And I will say Houston's lucky because Eric Garcia, who books Fury, also top-notch dude. So we're lucky. But a lot of these places where I've traveled to and covered events, the bookers, the promoters, the owners,
are terrible. Some of them are terrible.
Awful people. So, yeah, shout out to Mick and Eric Garcia, both top-notch guys.
Got a question for you on the flip side on
okay
that. Okay, because I want to know what's worse, and I'm going to give you the guys the scenario and let you guys dissect it for me.
Okay,
all right, so we'll get to that as we continue to roll on hour number 2 3-hour show. It is the Usual Suspects back with more ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.
To the left, to the left. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, wrapping up hour number two. 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Oh my God.
If you could see what we've seen. It's one of those days around here.
Oh, that's so funny.
Lots going on. Okay, so we were talking about this whole...
By the way, Irreplaceable has nothing to do with being disappointed. This
it list, absolutely does.
This list couldn't suck more if you tried to make it suck more.
If you're an educated fan about music.
Really? Tell me where disappointment relates to being irreplaceable.
So I'll go ahead and get gone, call up that chick and see.
Yeah.
Clearly she's disappointed.
So kicking someone out of your house is disappointed?
Sure.
At least, at least in this song, someone didn't die.
That's true.
Because there was the theme.
Seriously, bro, this might be your worst list ever as far as
I need
as
to tweet this list out and let the people vote.
But it might be your worst as far as actually being on theme.
I'll put that in the tweet.
Are you sure your bots haven't moved on? That they're going to save you with another poll?
Garbage-ass list.
Your boy Tad is on to me.
It's a good, this is a good
Daryl
song.
Daryl first.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, was it Daryl or Tad?
You're too quick for Tad. So I was saying before the break, and I wanted to get you guys, what's worse when we're talking about you really don't know some of these athletes that you put up on a pedestal as being heroic? You really don't know who they are and what they're all about. What's worse? Someone that doesn't hide it and does something like DeMarcus Lawrence, or someone that clearly is like Happy Gilmore or Tin Cup, where you got the guy that whenever the cameras are on and people are around, he looks like he is everybody's All-American. But the minute the cameras are off, he'd kick a dog or he'd blow off a kid or he'd do whatever. What is one worse than the other? Because I think there's a lot of people out there that are fooled. They are fooled in a big way into thinking that because they're good athletes, that they're also good people. And the joke ends up being on them. Sometimes they find out, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, people get fooled all the time. I would agree with that 100%. Especially with the power of video.
There's a saying, I think it was Malcolm X, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I'll mess up the actual quote, but it says something to the effect of, I would rather you be honest and then pretend like you're an angel but be nothing but a devil. I would rather know you for face value, even if I don't agree with it, than for you to be fake and to find out you've been fake. So if you're just a terrible person when it comes to kids and the stuff you do, I'd rather know that than to have, like you said, in Happy Gilmore, this guy that when the lights are on, it's like, oh, I'm so awesome. And then when the lights go off and the cameras aren't there, it's completely different. Yeah, that's even worse because not only are you a terrible person, but you're fake on top of it.
I think that was the biggest reality check for me when I started working in professional sports, was that even us working, you have a perception of the guys that you're working with. And then you go on the road and you see how they are when no one's around. And it can stun you. You step back and go, wow, never thought that guy would do something like that based on what I perceived him to be.
Yeah. Here's the quote, Malcolm X. I have more respect for a man who lets me know where he stands, even if he's wrong, than the one who comes up like an angel and is nothing but a devil. And that's exactly I would rather just know you're a jerk because then I know. But if I'm over here helping you with, if you're like, I'm raising money. And then behind the scenes, you're like, I'm not giving them that money, or you're just a jerk like that. So that's to me, that's two things that are terrible.
Fairly or unfairly, the one that I always go back to is Phil Mickelson was that guy. Phil Mickelson was the guy that when the cameras were around always was like I want to sign all these autographs and be with these kids. And then there was a tournament, and he was within a shot or two of the lead. Maybe he was leading. And he hit a ball in the trees. And he went and told the guys that go to find the balls, the marshals or whatever, and they take the little flag and say, your ball is here. And he went up and told those guys, don't find my ball, because I'm better off if I re-tee it, take the penalty, then I don't have to try and hit it out from the trees, and I can save some strokes, and I can stay in the lead, right? So he didn't realize that there was a camera trying to find where the ball was, and the mic was on. And the minute that they found the ball, and they said, Phil, it's over here, and whatever, he didn't realize that camera was behind him, and he goes, I thought I told you not to find it.
Ooh.
And then there were some choice words. And then when he saw the camera, he was like, and it was like, too late.
Yeah, we've now, seen you now.
Yeah, now the truth comes out.
Oof.
And that's a bad look. It's like, that's why people say, if you're capable of pulling that off on a consistent, you should be in politics. Because politicians are known for the people that come across as everybody's representative, but you know that they have an agenda.
Somebody say, hey, Barry, have you ever seen Bert Kreischer do the waitstaff raffle after his shows? It's the coolest famous person interaction I've seen. I have not. I don't know what that is.
He's a funny dude, though.
Bert's funny. I don't even know what this is about.
I don't either.
This scares me. Somebody texted, though, and said, what time is your show at Stats on Friday, Barry? I want to come see your set. Starts at 8 o'clock, Stats Sports Bar. Link to the tickets is on barryisfunny.com. So there you go. Let's do it. Let's just get,
We can wait. I mean, it's just up to you.
No, let's just get it out of the way.
You were mentioning your comedy.
Yeah, that's probably
what up, Eric? Welcome to the show, bro.
Hey, Barry, I saw your clip on Instagram the other day about Mattress Mack, and it was pretty funny.
Oh, I appreciate that, man.
I just have a question. When you go to other cities like Kansas City or Portland or something like that, do you, in reference to your comedy, do you have to know about the local celebrities there or something to make jokes on them like you did Mattress Mack, or how does that work?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Eric. No, actually, I do the whole Mattress Mack Hurricane Harvey bit. I do the whole thing. I'm not acknowledging
you. And you explain to the people, like, if they don't know who Mattress Mack is, you give them a setup so they know.
So basically, like, there's several ways that I can get into it. In fact, I was talking to Andy Huggins about this yesterday because it's like, yeah, there are some jokes that would go out of that aren't current event jokes anymore. But this isn't one of those things because we actually lived it. But yeah, every town, and actually Sam Damaris is the one that told me this, but every town has a crazy furniture guy. So all I do is I find out who's the crazy furniture guy in that town. And then when I say, Hurricane Harvey and Mattress Mack, I'd be like, if you don't know who Mattress Mack is, there's two ways I'll say that. I'll say, he's like so-and-so.
Right.
He's our crazy furniture guy, and then that'll get a laugh. Or I'll just say, if you don't know who Mattress Mack is, he sells mattresses. The clue is in the name. This ain't that hard. Just keep up with me here, people.
Right.
And then I keep going. Because it doesn't matter that they know who Mattress Mack is for the joke. All that matters is they know he sells mattresses because the punchline is
right.
And doesn't it also mean something
to him being a mattress salesman?
When you take that's kind of like the old rock and roll adage where the band coming to town always wears the jersey or something from one of the sports teams. That if you take the time to know who the crazy furniture guy is, then you have endeared yourself to that market a little bit.
There are some towns where I'll go and like if I perform in Wichita, there's a ton of homeless people by the river. So I'll make a joke about, oh, wow, I saw the homeless people at the laundromat, or y'all call it a river, because they're out there just washing their clothes in the river. And so, yeah, I'll make some jokes like that. There's a lot of comics that'll be like, hey, what's the worst mall in town and what's the busiest freeway? And I don't have those kind of jokes, but I will on occasion be like, all right, well, who's the crazy furniture guy? Some towns don't have one.
It's funny you mention that because growing up, the Milwaukee version was Crazy TV Lenny.
Yep.
And it was American TV and furniture. And Crazy TV Lenny was known across the state of Wisconsin.
There was one in, was it Little Rock?
A lot of times you get your hotel room. If you just put the TV on the local channels, you can get a pretty good indication of who's doing what.
Yeah, there was one guy in, I want to say it was either Little Rock or Tulsa, who was like that. He was like their version of Mattress Mack, and he was a pitch man. I'm going to find it. Because you guys got to see this guy. He's a weirdo. He starts doing all this stuff. He's like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on down. I was like, what the hell is that?
But you think about it, just like anything
it's
else.
It's just the craziest stuff.
Houston didn't have just one because they had Hilton.
Oh, yeah. But
and Mack.
I'm not going to call Hilton a knockoff, but all those guys came after Mattress Mack. He kind of set the standard.
You got old boy now with low prices live.
Yeah.
There's all the different guys.
Exclusive furniture.
Exclusive furniture. Yeah.
My favorite is when you go to Gallery Furniture and across the freeway on 45, there's Galaxy Furniture.
Yeah.
Like, who's dumb enough to be like, oh, I saw that commercial for Galaxy Furniture? No, you didn't. That'd be like putting a McDowell's next to McDonald's.
Right.
It's like, ain't nobody falling for that, bro. We ain't that stupid.
Or a Scrubway next to a Subway.
Yeah. We ain't that dumb. We're not stupid.
All right, hour number two is in the books. 3 hours show, so that means we got 60 minutes to go. We'll put it on the clock next and take you all the way till 4 o'clock. Blitz is going to take you till 7. You do nothing but keep it right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.